All right, get your Bibles. Let's open them to First Chronicles chapter 4. And if anybody knows anything about this chapter of First Chronicles, you know that it contains the prayer of Jabez. So today I want to read the verses there, take a quick look at the prayer here, see why it doesn't teach what it is often said to teach, and then, Lord willing, we'll see what it has to do with spiritual growth in the end. All right. First Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Okay, so notice there the exclamation point. He's praying there with some fervor, some intensity. And the Bible says, "And God granted him that which he requested." All right, in these verses here, we have a man, he's praying to God, and that's always a good thing. We have a man who's praying to the right God. That's even better. And in his prayer, Jabez asked God for four particular things. He made four requests of the Lord. Number one, that thou wouldest bless me. Okay, Jabez prayed for God's blessing. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That ought to be something that we do every single day. Secondly, Jabez asked God to enlarge his coast. And we will be focusing on that request here in just a minute. Thirdly, Jabez asked God that thine hand might be with me. That's something we could pray for, that we should pray for daily, God's hand upon us, God's hand to be with us for guidance and for direction along with his blessing. And then the fourth request Jabez made was for God to keep him from evil. Okay, Jabez, he's a little ahead of his time, because in the New Testament, in Matthew 26, verse 41, Jesus instructed his disciples, his followers, to pray, "Lead me not into temptation." He said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." He said, "Our Father, deliver us from evil." So Jabez's prayer, it's exemplary. It's an example we can look at. There's plenty for us to learn, plenty for us to apply. And the end of that verse is a great blessing, because the Bible says God granted him that which he requested. But that truth, that promise, that blessing is not exclusive to Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Throughout the Bible and throughout history and throughout our lives, we have the record and we have the testimony of a God who hears and answers prayers. Jabez is just one of billions of people from the time that God created the heaven and the earth until this present time and on into eternity. Jabez is just one of billions that cried out to God and God heard and God answered. Now, if you've heard of the prayer of Jabez before, it's probably because of a book that came out in the year 2000 by the title, The Prayer of Jabez. That's the name of that book. A very popular book, well-known book. It was a New York Times bestseller, sold over 9 million copies. And the premise of the book is that you can take Jabez's prayer, repeat Jabez's prayer, and by saying this prayer, it will entitle you to physical, material, financial blessings from the Lord. It's a complete charismatic prosperity gospel type message. And it's all based on a misunderstanding and a non-biblical understanding of the second request that Jabez made when he asked God to enlarge his coast. So here's what we'll do. We can read the passage. We can understand the story of this man. We can latch on to what he said and say, well, I can pray the same prayer and I can get the same thing. And I'm basing that on what I think it means, and if I do that, I can sell 9 million books. Or I can take the Bible and I can ask God, do I have a proper understanding of this term enlargement? What did it really mean when Jabez asked God, I want you to enlarge my coast? Because maybe it doesn't mean what we think it means. And we better be careful and we better approach the Bible with some diligence, because this term, it's found 25 times in the Word of God. And we see what the Bible says. If we'll take the time to see what the Bible says that it means, we'll have a better understanding and can take a better application from this passage. So we're going to run a set of references here quickly that'll show that the word has a different meaning than something physical. When we hear enlarge, we automatically think get bigger. But that's not necessarily what the word means in the Bible. Let me demonstrate. Come with me to 1 Samuel. Back up to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 1. And this will be Hannah praying here. And the Bible says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Obviously, that's not physical. Hannah doesn't have a horn sticking out of her head. She's not a unicorn. Okay. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. And then look at this. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. And man, as she prayed, you could just watch it happen. Her lips started to swell up real big. Her mouth got wider. No, come on, you know that's not what it is. That can't be what it means. But she said her mouth was enlarged. So that ought to tell you there's a different meaning here. Should be. All right, let's see if we can't figure this out. Look in 2 Samuel 22. That sure would be a weird prayer, wouldn't it? Lord, make my mouth big. 2 Samuel 22, and look at verse 37. 2 Samuel 22, 37, David here is calling out to the Lord. He says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. All right, so do you think David had a problem with his stride being too small so that he couldn't walk right and kept tripping himself or something? Do you think he was asking the Lord to lengthen his stride and enlarge his steps that way so that he didn't keep falling and hurting himself? That's not what David is praying, clearly. Look at the next verse. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them. And well, we should have finished the verse in 1 Samuel concerning Hannah, because there's a similar connection there. There's enlargement and there are enemies. There's enlargement and there is opposition. Those two are, you'll find they're frequently set side by side. So let's keep going. Let's look at, get some more examples here. Look at Psalm 119. This is what you got to do. You got to do a word search through the Bible on this word. Psalm 119, and this is the same person speaking here, verse number 32. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will run the way of the commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, I don't believe David is making reference here to the physical organ inside his body. In fact, we know an enlarged heart is not a good thing. It's a problem if you have an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart, that's caused by high blood pressure or coronary artery disease. So I don't think David is saying, well, as soon as I get high blood pressure, then I'll start obeying God's commandment. So when he's asking God to enlarge his heart, this isn't something physical, okay? That's not going to make you a better runner to have an enlarged heart. It's going to put you in the hospital with congestive heart failure. So when the psalmist speaks of running the way of God's commandments, he's speaking metaphorically, if you will. And when he's asking God to enlarge his heart, he's speaking metaphorically as well. Another reference you might check is Isaiah 60, verse 5. That's a prophecy of Israel's future when the Redeemer comes from Zion and establishes his kingdom and puts down his enemies and the Gentiles are converted. And there the Bible says the heart of Zion will be enlarged. But now let's go to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Just demonstrating that enlargement can be and often is something other than physical. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 15. The Bible says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Okay, so two possibilities. Either Paul is in one of those fasting periods, hunger periods, peril periods that he writes about in 2 Corinthians, and he hadn't had much food in a long, long time. And so he's hoping to make it to Corinth so that they can have a fellowship where there's always a lot of food so that he can be enlarged by the potluck dinner there. I don't see that. I see something else. He says, having hope that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. So I don't think he's hoping to become obese. Get 2 Corinthians 6. Similarly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened. Okay, we'll see that word in connection with enlargement again in a minute. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. So they're all going to get together. They're all going to have a fellowship. They're all going to eat lots and lots of food, and they're all going to get fat together. No, that's not what he's saying. It's not about gaining weight. It's not expanding your waistline, okay? They're talking about something in relation to or in contrast to verse number 12, and that is being straightened. And the spelling there, no G-H in that word. So that's talking about confinement, being restricted, okay, the tight spot, okay? So the word can obviously refer to something other than physical. Let's get a biblical definition. Let's see how the Bible defines it. The book of Esther, chapter 4. Esther chapter 4, an honest Bible student could take about 4 to 10 minutes with a concordance and quickly come to the conclusion that a Bible definition for the word enlarge might not be what your mind immediately goes to when you read the word in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. The only problem is that kind of Bible study doesn't sell 9 million copies, but it will help us more in the long run, okay? Esther chapter 4 and verse number 14. Let me give you the context first. Haman is in opposition to God's people. Haman, he's come up with a scheme where he's going to eradicate the Jew from the face of the earth and wants to get rid of them. He has convinced the king to make this decree that on the 13th day of the 12th month, all the Jews in the entire kingdom will be put to death. And Mordecai, he gets word of this and he sends word to Esther. And so Mordecai, he's trying to convince Esther here to take this before the king and beseech him for mercy. And here's what he says, Esther chapter 4, verse 14. This is this message going back and forth between Mordecai and Esther through the servant Hatak. Verse 14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai had confidence. He had faith in the promises of God. He knew that there was a Messiah coming to the world through the nation of Israel. And in order for God to keep that promise, the nation could not be eradicated. So he knew that whether God used Esther to bring the deliverance or whether God used some other means to bring the deliverance, he knew that deliverance was coming. And the hope was, the assurance was, that there would be enlargement for Israel. Okay, that's not necessarily talking about growth in population, but talking about that they would survive this opposition. So it's not necessarily a population explosion, but that they would not be overcome by their enemies. Okay? Enlargement and deliverance mentioned here. The word association helps to define the term. In many of these places, enlargement speaks of being delivered from your enemies. Look at Job chapter 12. Job chapter number 12 and verse number 23. Job 12:23. "He increaseth the nations, he and destroyeth them." Okay, so here, notice being increased is the opposite of being destroyed. Okay, is that fair? Next phrase, "He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again." Okay. When we have those two sets side by side, what we see is if increasing is the opposite of being destroyed, then enlarging is the opposite of being straightened. So here I am, I'm restricted, I'm surrounded, I'm confined, I'm oppressed by an enemy. But God grants deliverance. God delivers me. And what is that? That is enlargement. It's not that I got bigger, but something that was in the way is not, it is now out of the way. So the Bible defines the term. All right. Look at the book of Psalms now. The fourth psalm, Psalm number 4, and verse number 1. Psalm 4, 1. The Bible says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." So he's not talking about stress eating. He's not talking about all the weight that he gained because he was all depressed. He says, "I was distressed. There was a situation in my life and you delivered me from it. You enlarged me. You removed the constraint. You took away something that would have hindered progress or growth or development. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." All right. So we're getting an idea here now from the Bible. Now with that, let's go back to First Chronicles again and read it one more time. So I'm going to give you two possibilities here, and then an application. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 10. First Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. That's important. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Okay, so the two possibilities here. One possibility is that Jabez wants God to give him more land, that in enlarging his coast, he would like to possess and obtain more property. Okay, and that would be a request in line with what God had promised to the people to whom Jabez belonged. We're not going to run the verses, the cross references here, but enlarging of coasts in the physical sense was God's promise to the nation of Israel. And you can check that out in Exodus 34, verse 24, Deuteronomy 12, verse 20, Deuteronomy 19, verse number 8, God's promise to Israel. God said he would give the Hebrews the promised land, that he would drive out their enemies in order to give them that land, that they would conquer those nations and enlarge, that is, push out the boundaries of their borders. And if Jabez prayed that prayer, then he is praying a prayer in line with the promises God made to him and his people. Okay. But hey, I'm a New Testament Christian, and you're a New Testament Christian, and everybody who bought the book, that silly book, is in the church age, and very few of them were God's physical people, the Jew. So to appropriate a prayer that another man prayed under a different dispensation and say, "I'm going to use that to con God into making me rich," well, that's nothing other than just wresting the scriptures to your own destruction. But here's the problem, because a man wrote a book and a man sold a book, and everybody's now taking the prayer of Jabez, and it's almost like Jabez is getting a bad rap, getting an unfair assessment. What he did, though, was right. The prayer that Jabez prayed was good, and there's still plenty that we can learn from Jabez's prayer and apply to our lives from Jabez's prayer, because there's even another possibility here in this verse. Did you see the last request that he made? "God, deliver me from evil. Keep me from evil," he says. Could it not be that there's some threat that is surrounding Jabez, that there's some enemy that is oppressing Jabez, that there is some opposition in his life? And when he asks for God to enlarge his coast, he's saying, "God, I'm in a restricted situation. I'm being hindered, and I want you to take these enemies away." That's also a possibility. Can't rule that out. And that would be something that we as Christians could make an application to. Okay, so let's go back to the Psalms. Let's look at that one again. Read what David prayed one more time in Psalm 119, verse 32. Psalm 119, verse 32. David states these intentions in the form of a prayer to God. Verse 32, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Okay, well, there's a different approach, because most people are running from God's commandments. Most people are doing all they can to avoid God's commandments. A lot of people, they want to act like God's commandments don't even exist. But David says, "I'm not going to run away. I'm going to pursue them. I'm going to go that direction. I want to follow them. I want to walk in them. But God, in order for me to do so, there's a request I have for you. In order for me to let your word be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path and guide my steps through life, I need you to enlarge my heart. Because see, David recognized that even within him, there's something that is hindering him from going the direction that God wants him to go. Even within him, there's some opposition to the commandments of a holy and righteous and loving and trustworthy God. So David, he's saying, Lord, in order for me to obey you the way that I know that I should, I'm going to have to be delivered from some things, even in my own heart. So God, enlarge my heart. Take away the hindrance. Take away what is preventing me from going the way that you want me to go. Well, let's make application to our spiritual growth as Christians. Okay, just as we're wrapping up here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, all of us as saved people are supposed to be becoming more like Jesus. To that end, God has given us things that pertain to life and godliness. God has indwelt us with his Spirit. God has given us his Word. Those are the two primary sources of spiritual growth, the indwelling Christ, the power of the Scriptures. And yet, with all of that, how are we doing today? How much growth has taken place in our lives since the time that we've been saved? Now, I'm not saying that there's none. I'm not saying that there's not a lot, maybe. But there's not as much as there should be when you consider the fact that Jesus Christ is right here inside me. When you consider that I've got 66 books, 1,189 chapters, inspired by God, preserved by God, that is so quick and powerful and life-giving and life-sustaining. And we're part of a Bible-believing church where we get good, solid truth that's helpful for our lives. We've got all of that, and yet we're not more like Jesus than we are. You know what we need? We need some enlargement. We need some deliverance from the things within and without that hinder us, that constrain us, that straighten us and prevent us. God has given us everything we need to grow. We need to ask God for help, for removing the obstacles to that growth. Because none of us have any excuse for not living like Christ, acting like Christ, thinking like Christ, speaking like Christ. And all of us in our lives, there are some things that get in our way. And what we need is enlargement. What we need is what Jabez prayed for. What we need is to go to God today and pray, God, show me the things that are hindering me. Show me the things that you would like removed from my heart. Just like a plant, oftentimes it needs to be pruned. You need to cut off the dead stuff. Something has to be cut off. Something has to be cut back. Something has to be removed so that plant can grow and produce and be strong and healthy the way it should be. And our lives are the same way. Sometimes we just need to trim some excess. Sometimes we need to lay aside some sins that beset us. Sometimes it's some weights that they're not wrong, but they're stopping us from running the way of God's commandments. It can even be good things, just in the wrong place and the wrong priority. So God help us all to identify the obstacles to spiritual growth. Let's take Jabez's prayer, not so we can get rich. No, let's take Jabez's prayer so we can realize the benefit and the blessing of what God has given to us to make us more like Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding for so many examples that you've placed throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. Lord, thank you for putting those definitions in there for us and examples so that we can know what you mean in places where it sometimes gets misunderstood. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit, by your Holy Bible, helping us to have a right understanding, rightly dividing your word of truth at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.